Good morning, Arizona. Why don't you come on around back here with me and see what we can do in the landscape and garden this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. Jay Harper of the Farm Fresh, the Farm's Choice. I always say Farm Fresh.
Well,
that's just so easy to farm and fresh go to hand in hand. Farm, the Farm's Choice.
We make things fresh after you use our product.
Perfect.
How's that?
Welcome to today's broadcast. Where are we starting? I've got texters that have already been texting in. We've got a couple emails that have lined up, but and you can join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U. You can text into 411-923, or you can email at info@rosieonthehouse.com. But we usually start with one specific to-do or chore or tip. What are we going to cover today?
You know, the doggone weather is like 80 degrees. It's beautiful. This 80-some degree weather we usually miss. It seems like we go from 90 to 60. So enjoy the weather and enjoy the extended time that you have. If you've not planted a winter lawn, you still have plenty of time to get that in with this extended weather. But one thing we need to make sure we're doing with winter lawns is a lot of folks forget to fertilize them after that second mowing. Then we get into that cold weather and they get a frost and then they yellow out really badly. So make sure you apply even if you use the fertilizer at time of seeding, make sure you apply another application of fertilizer after about the second mowing is when I like to do it. Also, even though it's still a little warm, it's not near as warm or hot as it was a month or two ago. Please, please, please adjust those sprinkler irrigation timers this time of year. You could be using half, at least, of the water that you were using in the summertime. And as we go to that next level of cooling, which hopefully comes pretty soon because it's almost Thanksgiving, we can go about half again. So realistically, you should, by the time we're into winter mode, be somewhere around a fourth of the water that you were using to keep your summer lawn, your summer landscape watered sufficiently. We see just way, way too many people that just never go out and change those irrigation controllers. And that's changing somewhat with the smart controllers that do it for you. But even then, some adjustments and tweaking might need to be made. Make sure that your sprinkler heads are not just going all over the place, that they're doing an adequate job. And even though it's cool and it's fall, we still need to conserve water in our landscapes. Planting wise, this is, and I know we harp on this all the time, but this is the best time of year to plant really trees, shrubs, vines, most of your landscape shrubs. By doing it now, that you know that these wonderfully warm days and very cool nights, the plants recover. They don't get stressed out for water as easily. The soil's staying like an incubator. It's staying warm. Those roots are rooting. And this is just a great time. You get like a year's head start almost by planting now as opposed to waiting till spring to do it. Almost anything. You know, the only thing you might start shying away from now are some of the real frost-sensitive things like ficus and maybe hibiscus and some of the really super tender stuff. But vegetables still, you know, we can plant cool season vegetables all winter. And we talked a couple weeks ago about, you know, kind of alternate planting or spacing out the planting. Plant a row of lettuce and wait a few weeks and plant another row and spinach and so forth and so on, onions. So you don't have them all coming on at one time. So that's a good way to keep those going. As you harvest some, replant some, you know, back in that same spot. Keep that garden turning over and going. So just a ton of things. Roses, you should have probably cleaned up your roses and cut them back a little bit, taking the dead stuff off. We start going into, I was at Ryan Rieger's house a week or so ago. He's the gentleman that does a lot of the rose clinics for us. And his rose bushes are just, it's probably by now, a week later, an explosion. He had kind of gone in, cleaned them up, and there was just, they were budded like crazy, so they're going to look really good. And a lot of times, November, December, and early January is when, frankly, I think our rose bushes and rose flowering is probably the best it is all year.
And I've never growing my roses, but I always hear that that's the time when they look the best, you got to chop them.
Well, yeah, a lot of times come mid-January when you got to prune, do that heavy pruning, and you're like, oh, man, I'm getting these great, big, beautiful flowers, but you got to do it. So it's a great time of year to do it. Citrus fruits are starting. I notice my tangerines are starting to turn a little color, so it won't be long here. Usually by about Thanksgiving, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we're starting to harvest some of our tangerines and early orange varieties.
Roxy came in with a lemon from the orchard, just eating the lemon raw. I said, is that good? She's like, no. But just kept eating it. Is that ripe yet? Uh-uh. Is that good? No. Okay.
Well, it's good for
but,
me, though.
But that's what it's for. Is the kids that pick and eat at their will.
There you go.
But we're getting close. Those lemons are starting to yellow up good.
And some of the coloring is a little later this year because of the warmer weather, and things are a little behind from that standpoint. So you might notice that in your citrus fruits because it's staying warmer so long. So just kind of bear with it a lot. But remember that rind color doesn't necessarily indicate the ripeness. That's just coloring on the flesh or on the rind, I'm sorry. And yeah, they can be plenty ripe and just not be colored up good. So yeah, it's always best just pick one and see when what you think. But as the nice thing about citrus fruits as opposed to deciduous summer fruits like peaches and apricots, you can leave them on the tree. You know, the birds won't attack them. They don't go bad. In fact, they just the sugars get higher. They get better as they go. So, you know, don't feel like you got to go out there and pick all your fruit at one time. They store better on the tree than they do once they're harvested.
Got a text early this morning from Richard in Phoenix. He says, I can't get my grass to grow in the backyard, and dirt has turned into powder. What do I do next? I wanted to text him back and said, I think you should probably get like 3 tons of quarter minus granite delivered.
Well, you know, without knowing what's going on with his irrigation system, how shady it is, all that sort of thing. But the nice thing about our winter ryegrass lawns is they will grow in shade very nicely. And if the dirt is or soil is very powdery, most likely he needs to add some organic material. So some good compost, you know, maybe rake it in an inch or two deep, you know, get something that's going to help maybe retain some moisture into that soil and some organic material to make it more fertile, and then try reseeding it. That would, without seeing it at all, hearing the powdery thing, that's my first inclination would be to tell him to add organic material, some type of compost, good organic soil, and scratch it until. And the nice thing about a lawn is you don't have to go very deep. You don't have to go 6, 8, 10 inches like a vegetable garden. Just an inch or two is plenty. And then seed it. Rake the seed or brush the broom the seed lightly into that new soil mix. And then keep it moist. You've got to water it several times a day to keep it moist. The nice thing about it, if you waited till now to do your winter lawns, you don't have that 4, 5, 6 time a day watering necessary. A couple times a day will probably keep it moist enough.
And that's just through germination. Once the sprouts come up, you can cut your watering back.
Correct. Typically, we keep it, you know, we keep that water and we get it germinated, we get it up, and then, you know, when it's up, you know, 1.5, 2 inches, and we need to mow it that first time, then you can cut the water back, especially after the first mowing. And I like to turn the water off the day before, you know, like if I'm going to mow it this afternoon, I don't let it water that day. You don't want to try and mow brand new wet ryegrass. It's not a lot of fun to mow, and it's sometimes you can actually, you know, tear some out if you're not careful, if it's really wet and tender.
And his challenge at this point might just be finding the ryegrass. When I got mine 3 weeks ago at Elgin, there was 8 bags left, and they said, you know, that's the last of our ryegrass for the season. And I noticed Dale's Country Store in Waddell is carrying it now, and they had a few sacks left last Saturday, but it's going to be finding the seed at this point.
Yeah, you know, you will be able to find it. You're right. You may have to make a couple phone calls if not, but generally somebody will still have some, you know, through at least Christmas time. Then it gets a little tough. I always encourage people to actually save back, buy a little more than you need, and keep 5 or 10 pounds on hand because you're always going to have those spots that didn't come up good. The birds maybe got some of it. Maybe you got a little spot that the sprinklers don't cover good. So you've got a little extra for reseeding, or the dogs dig up an area or something like that, that you, if you've got to do a little repair job, you've got some seed on hand. Then next year, if you've got those, that 5-pound bag of seed left, use that on your in with your seed. That seed doesn't go bad. Okay, so
keep it dry.
Keep it dry, absolutely. As long as it's dry, it will not go bad in 1 year's time. Use it up and then save out, you know, 5 or 10 pounds of next year's seed and do the same thing.
And ryegrass seed, where do they harvest that?
Most of it comes from Oregon. That's where most of our ryegrass growers are that grow it for seed production. And it's just, it's a crop just like lettuce or, you know, cotton or whatever for them up there. They grow ryegrass to produce seed. So it's a seed, a grain crop. Yep.
And beautiful. Our kids, that's all they want. Every year, why can't we keep this all year long? Why can't we keep this all year long?
Well, if I had my vote, we would just let our summer lawns die. In most cases. Most cases, most people's look like they might as well just let them die, because they don't look very good. And have ryegrass as long as you can have it. If you really, in my opinion, if you really wanted to save water, if we really were going to cut out lawns, cut out the summer lawn, have the winter lawn. That's when you enjoy it. That's when you're outside. That's when you want to play on the grass. If you've got kids, that's when they enjoy it the most. And it's just beautiful grass.
It is. They get a lesson in snowbirds every fall when it starts to come up. This is from Oregon. That's why we have friends that go and live in Oregon in the summer. And
yeah, right.
they move there for the grass. Well, not just the grass, but the weather and the landscape. So if I can't blame them if you can do that, but two locations for me would be hard.
It's a lot of work, but, you know, the best of both worlds sometimes is nice, too.